When we allow our flesh, our physical desires, to be in control, our life will be devastated. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, the teaching pastor for Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. Thank you for joining us today. God's desire is to make a believer into a new person. That's why the Holy Spirit indwells each and every person who trusts in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is about the business of recreating the believer into someone who reflects Jesus in their life. Turn with us to the New Testament book of Galatians today, and here's Pastor Jim to get us started.
You've got to say yes to the Spirit of God as the inner prompter and controller, and no to those impulses that lead to brutality, harshness, immorality, anger, drug abuse and dependence, all of those things that bring devastation to your life. They are the immediate demonstration that your flesh is in control. And you can't control your flesh. God wants to make you a new person. And that's why the Holy Spirit is there. So number one, you need to become acquainted. You need to know the desire of the Spirit. You need to know what's on God's mind for you. You need to surrender what's God's plan for you. You need to embrace what is God's intent for you. You need to take Jesus Christ as not only your Savior crucified, but your living ideal. You need to embrace a transforming process, which means I'm going to die to the things that I want to do, and I'm going to surrender to the things that God the Spirit wants to replicate within me. You need to know what the desires of the Spirit of God are. Now, I want to assure you this morning, God has a very specific agenda for your life. You were saved by grace through faith, and that was not of yourself, it was the work of God. And as one who has been saved by grace through faith, you are now God's poem, God's new creation, and you were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that you should walk in them. You need to know what the desire of the Spirit of God is for your life. And you and I need to surrender to those desires. And when we surrender to those desires, the Spirit of God gives us His energy, and He gives us victory over the downward tug of the flesh. The second thing we need to do, we need to grow the fruit of the Spirit. Know the desire of the Spirit, this one who lives inside. Secondly, we need to grow the fruit of the Spirit. Paul goes on to say in verse 22, now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. For those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. See that? We need to grow the fruit of the Spirit. How do you do that? Well, first of all, know what it is. God wants to reproduce in me this kind of personality so that I am patient, I am gentle, I am good, I am faithful, I am loving. I am just like Jesus. And notice that ninth one, self-control. I have learned how to accept full responsibility for all my actions and reactions, and by the power of the Spirit of God, I am in control, meaning I am free to choose to do the right thing. Now, this doesn't happen automatically. It must be grown. I must choose to put to death. I must choose to have nothing to do with the impulses that rise in my heart and life. I must look on the television for those programs that are to excite and stimulate within me these marvelous qualities of love and goodness and gentleness and purity and faith. I must cultivate relationships with people around me who are going to nurture and help me by modeling before me how these things work. I must expect that God is going to put me in arenas where these things are going to be tested. You'll never develop patience unless you're someplace where you need to have patience. You'll never develop love unless you're put among people who are unlovely. You will never be kind unless you are challenged by people who are cruel and unthinking and heartless and insensitive. So we must grow the fruit of the Spirit. And frankly, when I look in the mirror of my life, I have a lot of growing to do. A university professor challenged his students with this question. Did God create everything that exists? Student bravely replied, "Yes, sir, he did." The professor sneered, "God created everything." "Yes, sir." "If God created everything, then God created evil, since evil exists. According to the principle that our works define who we are, then God is evil." The student became quiet. Professor, quite pleased with himself, boasted to the students that he had just proven one more time that faith in God is a myth. However, another student raised his hand and said, "May I ask you a question, sir?" "Of course." The student stood up and said, "Professor, does cold exist?" "What kind of question is this? Of course it exists. Have you never been cold?" The students snickered at the young man's naivety. He replied, "In fact, sir, cold does not exist. According to the laws of physics, what we consider cold is in reality the absence of heat. Every body or object is susceptible to study when it has or transmits energy. Absolute zero is the total absence of heat. All matter becomes inert and incapable of reaction at that temperature. Cold does not exist. We have created this word to describe how we feel if we have no heat." "Professor," "yes, does darkness exist?" "Of course it does." "Once again, sir, you are wrong. Darkness does not exist either. Darkness is in reality the absence of light. We can study light, but not darkness. In fact, we can use Newton's prism to break white light into many colors and study the various wavelengths of each color. You cannot measure darkness. A simple ray of light can break into a world of darkness and illuminate it. How can you know how dark a certain space is? You measure the amount of light present. Is this not correct, sir?" "You see, sir, darkness is a term used by people to describe what happens when there is no light present." Then the young man said, "Professor, does evil exist?" A bit uncertain by now, the professor responded, "Of course. As I've already said, we see it every day. It's in the daily example of man's inhumanity demand. It's in the multitude of crime and violence everywhere in the world. These manifestations are nothing else but evil." "Evil does not exist, sir. Or at least it does not exist in and of itself. Evil is simply the absence of God. It's just like darkness and cold, a word that men have created to describe the absence of God. God did not create evil. Evil is like faith or love that exists just as does light and heat. Evil is the result of what happens when man does not have God's love present in his heart. It's like the cold that comes when there is no heat or the darkness that comes when there is no light." The professor dismissed the class. Now, my point this morning in reading this time-worn illustration is that many of us in our lives are like cold and darkness. Where God wants to make our lives heat and light. I'm not a Christian because of what I don't do. I'm a Christian because of what I am. I'm a Christian because of how I live. I'm a Christian because of the fragrance of Jesus Christ that flows from my life. because I am filled with the power and presence of the Spirit of God, and it issues forth in love and goodness and mercy and gracious, these positive qualities against which there is no law, those are the evidences that I am born again. Those are the evidences that I am a Christian. That's the way the world knows that I'm a Christian. That's God's intention for the Christian. Not to be known so much for what I'm against, as to be known by what I am for. And that leads to the third thing that must be my focus if I would be a biblical Christian. First, I must know the desire of the Spirit. Secondly, I must grow the fruit of the Spirit. Thirdly, I must show the life of the Spirit. Paul continues in verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. We must not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore such a one with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you won't be tempted also. Carry one of those burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he is deceiving himself. But each person shall examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in himself alone and not in respect to someone else. For each person will have to carry his own load. What's that verse saying? It's saying that the Spirit of God in control of my life exhibits His life. And how do I respond to other people? Well, I don't respond with conceited haughtiness, arrogance. I don't respond with envy and jealousy and strife. I don't respond with bitterness and anger and hostility. Even when someone is overtaken in a fault, what's my response? I am committed to restoring that person, and I approach them with a gentle spirit, always aware that I am just as capable of that failure as he or she. Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you not see how this person emits the very life of the Spirit of God? How God's life, how God's love, how God's graciousness, how God's mercy flows out from this person. They're not hard and bitter and wrinkled and angry and hostile. They're full of meekness and gentleness and kindness and love and compassion. I want to tell you, when I go to the doctor to give a pint of blood, and I have to do that regularly, I always appreciate the nurse who is gentle, considerate, patient, and good. I can rate the phlebotomist. I am always impressed by the doctor who says, now, we're going to have to hurt you, but there are medicines to deal with that pain. I like that. Don't you? I'm always drawn to the doctor who has a good bedside manner, who knows to make me well, he has to hurt me. But he's committed to making the hurt as pain-free as possible. How many of you like that kind of doctor? Let me see your hands. You know, that's why people don't confess their sins in the body of Christ. Because we jump on them and we kick them. And we mock them. We embarrass them. Does it not strike you that Jesus was the friend of publicans and sinners? That people of notorious reputation came to Jesus. Why? Because they sensed that from his heart there would be forgiveness and hope and help and patience. We need to know the desire of the Spirit of God who lives within our hearts. We need to grow the fruit of the Spirit of God. We need to show, we need to be the fragrance, we need to show the life of the Spirit of God. And lastly, we need to sow the things of the Spirit of God. Verse 6, chapter 6, verse 6. The one who is taught the message must share his goods with the teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So we must not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all, especially those who belong to the household of faith. What did it say? That's saying I must sow, I must invest my goods, my life, my talent, my time in doing those things that please God and benefit others. What you did yesterday, those of you who were here welcoming home the troops, God smiled. That was good. Those of you who choose to become involved in the Easter concert, God moves upon your heart, that's good. Those of you that were involved in the Christmas concert, that's good. Those of you who went out of your way this week to help someone who was in need, that's good. That's sowing to the things of the Spirit. That's investing the time, talent, and tithe of your life in the lives of those around you. That's seeking what is good, being on the side of what is good. That's good. And you will reap a harvest. Your life will become richer and fuller every day. And people will come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior because of your gracious sowing. Most people think that the good things of life are for them to get, keep, and enjoy. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The good things of life are God's gracious gifts to you and me to give, to give, to give. When you keep them, they will spoil you. When you give them, they will blossom and grow and multiply. Do good. Sow good. Give away your life, your time, your energy, your gift. Give to others your prayers, your thoughts, your concern, your presence. Sow your life. Don't keep it. Since I'm getting older, I have a chance to be around mature people. I tell you, they're divided into two groups, night and day. There are some bitter old people who grew up in church, and I don't want to be around them. They are narrow, they are harsh, they are angry, they are tired, they are there, and they are and you know why? Because all their life, they've been demanding. It's me, demanding, click. And they got full barns and an empty heart. And I've been around the other kind of older people, too. Frankly, many of them don't have much of this world's goods, but they're loving and kind, they're positive, they're upbeat. They may have two dimes, and they're willing to give you 15 cents. They're always looking for ways to be a blessing to somebody else. And you know what? People flock to them. People love to be around them. People talk about them. Now, you're going to be, 10 years from now, what you're becoming today. Are you a giver or a getter? Are you a sower or are you a hoarder? I want to tell you, God the Spirit has clearly spoken. He dwells in my heart to energize the sowing, 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 sowing. Where are you this morning? Are you a child of God or are you a hypocrite? Are you someone who just professes faith in Jesus Christ, or are you one who exercises faith in Jesus Christ? Are you living by reputation and hope people don't find out? Or are you living by reality because the Spirit of God dwells within you? Dwells within you. He's like an artesian well, refreshing, strengthening. If you are indeed a child of God this morning, the Spirit of God Himself, the Holy Guest of Heaven, lives in your heart. And He is there to fulfill God's design and His desires in your life. Get to know the desires of the Spirit of God. Through the Word, through prayer, fellowship with other mature believers, get to know the desires. Get to know and grow the fruit of the Spirit. Be restless and dissatisfied with anything less. Let those be the measuring stick by which you dipstick and test your reality. If you indeed are growing the fruit of the Spirit, then you will be showing the life of the Spirit. Others will sense His fragrance, not because of what you're against, but because of what you're obviously for. And sow the things of the Spirit. Risk loving. Risk serving. Risk your comfort. Risk your security. Risk all those things that act like shekels. And step out in faith and trust God. He's never failed anyone yet. And you will be the first. Now, Father, as we sing together, move upon our hearts. May we be able to sing these words from the depth of our hearts, not that others will hear us, but that You will hear us. And where we cannot sing them honestly, help us this morning to make that commitment to You, a commitment that will transform our lives and take us from those who are a blight upon the kingdom of God to those who are a blessing to You and an attraction to those around them, an attraction to faith in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The evil we see around us is really only the absence of the good and perfect God. Now, where God is pushed aside and ignored, that's where evil flourishes. The presence of evil is only the absence of the Creator. Well, these daily lessons are available on single CD, so if you would like your own personal copy, we do have those available for you. We're calling today's program Living in the Orchard, Part 1, and for your gift of $7 or more, we'll send you this single lesson. Our complete series, Be Rich, is available in a 10-disc set for your gift of $39 or more. Now, we have several ways you can order. First of all, call our toll-free number. That's 1-800-984-2313. Or just order on the Internet. Log on to our website at rightstartradio.org. That website features an archive of past programs and complete uninterrupted sermons. This daily Right Start Radio program is also available as a podcast on iTunes. Or just write to us at Right Start Radio, Post Office Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Did you know that you can actually be a part of the Right Start Radio ministry? You can. Just let us know of your prayerful financial support, and you will have a part in bringing this ministry to others. I'm John Skillman. Thank you for listening in today. I hope you'll join us again on Friday at this same time when we'll conclude our series on the resurrection celebration. That's here on the next edition of Right Start.